From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Be in awe of God, and you will find wisdom, knowledge, and insight. We gather to worship God who made the entire universe. Turn to Jesus who gives us guidance, hope, and assurance. Follow God who knows our inmost thoughts and dreams. Seek God's ways for your life and not the ways of the world. For God's ways are justice, mercy, and love. Come, let us worship God who leads us into life. Amen.
This morning's special music is provided by Miss Alyssa Sabartinelli.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is this hurt and these four words. Could never think about. It's hard to count it all in joy, distracted by the noise, trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God and I am not. So
Mrs. Becky Schneider reads this morning's scripture lessons.
The Old Testament lesson comes from 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 23 through 28, and again in 32 through 35. When Abigail saw David, she made haste and alighted from the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me alone, my lord, be guilt. Pray, let your handmaid speak in your ears and hear the words of your handmaid. Let not my lord regard this ill-natured fellow, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your handmaid, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from taking vengeance with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Pray forgive the trespass of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because the Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had made haste and come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have hearkened to your voice, and I have granted your petition." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson comes from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. What causes wars, and what causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? Your desire and do not have, so you kill? And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, make himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is in vain that the scripture says, "He yearns jealousy over the spirit which he has made to dwell in us"? But he gives more grace, therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double mind. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Let us stand for the gospel reading. Gospel reading is taken from Matthew's gospel today, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 9. "Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God.'" This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, "Combat is Optional."
A young man was walking home from work one evening when he was going through the park and accidentally he bumped into another gentleman. They said, "Excuse me," and then they went their separate ways. But as the young man ventured home, he reached into his back pocket to see if his wallet was there, and his wallet was gone. Immediately he became angry and he thought, "I have to go get that guy." So he runs back and he finds the man who ostensibly took his wallet. He grabs him by the shirt and he shakes him and he says, "Give me back my wallet, you crook." And the guy, filled with fear, says, okay, but just don't hurt me." And he hands over the wallet. The young man continues home, and as he continues home, he's patting himself on the back and he's feeling good about himself because he stood up for himself. He gets to his apartment. He opens the door to his apartment and he walks in And he looks, and laying right there on the kitchen table was his wallet that he had forgotten to put in his back pocket that morning on the way to work. Sometime this week, you will probably bump into somebody. It's what we do. As human beings, our paths cross, and from time to time, we don't see eye to eye. We bump into each other. And this is nothing new. This has been going on forever. This is something that we see in our text today. We don't know the nature of the conflict, but according to James, at his church, people were bumping into each other. And it wasn't just a minor little thing, a little disagreement, a tiny little skirmish. No, he says that there's a war. All-out warfare is taking place. A battle is raging. This week we saw the same thing. We saw our nation erupt in battle as blue lives and black lives bumped up against each other. We watched this on television and we couldn't believe what we were seeing. We couldn't believe what we were feeling in our hearts. How could this be our country? I even read an op-ed piece yesterday that asked the question, is America at war with itself? James would answer that question and he would say, yes. And it's largely because of fear. I remember, several years ago now, when my daughter, she was about 3 years old. And one night we sat down to eat together. And out on the table was a casserole of all gratin potatoes. And Andy looked at that, and apparently she had never seen all gratin potatoes before. So she asked the question of me, she says, Daddy, what is that? And I explain, oh, those are all gratin potatoes. And she breaks down in tears, and she's inconsolable. And I say, Andy, what is wrong? And she goes, I'm not going to eat any old rotten potatoes. She had never had this experience before, and so she was looking at something that was new, and it took her aback. It frightened her. That's one reason why there's conflict, because we're experiencing new things, people we've never had contact with before, and that creates fear. But chiefly, we are at war because of our desires. James says we kill and covet because we don't get what we want. Very simple. We don't get what we want. And then he says when we do get what we want, we take what we get and we spend it on things that we don't even need. And it's just a vicious cycle that runs round and round and round. And then James takes it even a step further. He says, also, we're at war with God. That's why we're at war with each other, because we're at war with God. Now, I know what people think. We're not at war with God. How can that be? I know that I could go out tonight after church, and I could knock on doors throughout California, and I could ask the question, are you at war with God? 99% of the people would say, no, I'm not at war with God. I love God. Our family goes to church. We pray. We even occasionally read the scriptures together. We love God. Yet James says, if anyone loves the world, they are an enemy of God. If anybody loves the world, they are an enemy with God. Wow. Not long ago, Reformed pastor Jerry Bridges wrote a book called Respectable Sins. Isn't that an interesting title? And I think he uses that title because there are unrespectable sins. The ones that embarrass us, the ones that we say, oh, that's evil, that's horrible. Things like murder and adultery or witchcraft or sorcery or something like that. Deceit. These are the things that are glaring to us, and we look down our nose at them, and when we find people who are guilty of them, we point our finger and we say, there, now there's a real sinner. There are unrespectable sins, but then he says there are respectable sins. You know, the kind of sins that we just sort of wink at and chuckle about. And he says one of those respectable sins is worldliness. Worldliness.
What is that? What is worldliness? We even talk about someone being worldly wise as if that's like a really great thing or something. What is the Bible talking about when it says that a person is worldly? Well, when I was a kid, preachers used to stand up and they used to point their finger at us youngsters and say that we shouldn't drink or smoke or chew or go with girls that do. That's worldliness. And then I also recall a time when, you know, they were condemning things like going dancing or going to concerts or going to movies or anything of that nature. This is what they said was being worldly. Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about turning back time and living in the 1950s? Is that what the Bible is talking about? No, I don't think so. And I also find that it's not usually a good habit for us to get into the practice of naming specific sins. Because you know what we do when we name specific sins? We almost always leave the sins out that we're guilty of. You ever noticed that? When I talk about sin, I don't talk about the sins that I have a problem with. I talk about the sins that you have a problem with. How convenient is that? So let's not do that today. I like what Bridges says. He says that worldliness is going along with the spirit of the age. He says, it's refusing to judge my own life according to the Scriptures. What it is chiefly is compromise. Just going along to get along. A man was found in a cesspool and he was up to his neck in human excrement. And his friend passed by and he said, "Oh man, that's awful. Do you want me to help you out?" The guy in the cesspool says, "No, not at all. But whatever you do, don't make any waves." That's worldliness. I'm not going to speak the truth. I'm not going to talk about purity or anything like that, or integrity or anything like that, because I'm just going to go along to get along. In our Old Testament lesson, David is hell-bent on getting vengeance against Nabal. Apparently, Nabal owns all of this property and he has all of these servants. And David, it seems like, is protecting Nabal's property, doing him a favor, keeping bandits away, this sort of thing. And David thinks he's done a pretty good job at helping, you know, his neighbor out. And he gets to a place where he needs something in return. And so he asks Nabal for a favor. You know, let's be even Stevens on this. And when Nabal gets the message that now David needs some help in exchange for all the help that Nabal has received, Nabal says, "Well, who is this David fella? I've never even heard of him." And David is offended. "Oh, he can't treat me like that. I'm too important to be treated like that. I'm the anointed king." And he gets angry and mad to the point where he says, "I'm not going to leave anybody left alive in his house." And so David gathers together his men and he sharpens his sword and he's en route to Nabal's house to set the world to rights. He's en route and he's tasting blood in his mouth. And everybody's going to die, according to David, until Abigail, Nabal's wife, shows up. And Abigail doesn't go along with the spirit that was moving that day. In fact, she goes before David and she bows down. And she apologizes for her husband's foolishness. And she offers gifts. And she praises David for all of his kindness to the house. And she shows through her kindness and through her gentle spirit, she proves the words of the sage to be true. A soft answer turns away wrath. People wonder, what is going on in the world? Why are we at war with each other? I can't believe what I'm seeing with my eyes. I can't either. Do you want to put an end to the pain, an end to the bloodshed, an end to the violence, an end to the grudges? One thing that we need to do is modulate our tone. A soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. James puts it this way. He says, humble yourself. He says, come near to God and God will come near to you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. In the Greek, if you look it up, it says, bow low. Get low. Come underneath. Exactly what Abigail did to avert the wrath of David. She bowed before him. She asked for forgiveness. She offered gifts. Humble yourself, James writes. Plutarch tells of Diogenes, who was standing over a heap of bones when Alexander the Great approached. What are you looking for? Asked Alexander. Something I cannot find. What is that? The difference between your father's bones and the bones of his slave, was the reply. And I would add to that that there's no difference between black bones and white bones. There's no difference between rich bones or poor bones. There's no difference between Catholic bones or Protestant bones. There's no difference between American bones and un-American bones. And we can go on and on and on. We see differences. God looks at us. And he sees his children. The children that he sent his one and only son to die for. Humble yourself, James says. And that's something that we have to do, right? He says, humble yourself. That's something that I have to do, something that you have to do. It's not something that the world can do for us or that a race of people can do for us. It's something that we have to do ourselves. It's on me, it's on you. How do we humble ourselves? How do we bring ourselves down low? Let me offer a few suggestions. At the end of the day, make a review of your life. Ask yourself, how did I handle conflicted situations today? And when you do, pretend you're somebody else. Don't judge yourself as if you were you. Pretend that you're looking on as an outsider, and you're making a judgment from a third-person point of view, and then make that judgment. Then ask, today, was I a part of the solution, or was I a part of the problem? Did I add to the anger in the universe, or did I somehow make a contribution to peace? Anger in the heart is the clearest sign that humility is absent. When you get angry, why is it? Because someone ought to have done something. They ought to have been kind to you. They ought to have been respectful to you. They ought to have. And what's offended? It's your pride that has been offended, that has been pricked. Humility is absent. Then listen to yourself. When you get into a disagreement, don't just listen to what you say, all right? Listen to the tone of your voice. Are you raising your voice? I had a professor who said one time to a group of entertaining marriage, he said, never yell unless the house is on fire. Good words. Why? Because you can't be emotional and rational at the same time. Shakespeare said, anger is a wind that blows out the candle of the mind. How true it is. You see, it begins with me. It begins with you. And when we become more self-reflective, we become more self-aware. And though our awareness of self will not change the world, it can change us. And I think ultimately in the long run, that can make a difference in the world. Scripture says that we are ambassadors of Christ and that God is making his appeal of reconciliation through us to the world. If anybody should be able to bring about racial harmony and reconciliation, it should be those of us who are Christians who know what it is to be reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. And so it's up to me, and it's up to you. Humble yourself, James says. I heard a poem one time that really touched me. I think it's so true. It goes like this, something like this. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. But the harder I tried, the quicker I saw that it was not possible for me to change the world. So I set my sights on changing the nation. But the harder I tried to change the nation, I saw that it was no use. And so then I set my sights on changing my town. But I soon found that I could not change my town. So I thought to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll change my family. Now I'm an old man. And now I see that I can't change anybody except myself. And now I see that if I had focused on changing myself, maybe then I could have impacted my family, and maybe my family could have done something to change our town, and maybe our town could have done something to effect change in our nation, and then maybe the nation could have changed the world, and in this way I would have been a part of changing the world. Oh, I get frustrated when I watch TV. Don't you? Frustrated when I read the papers, read all the platitudes about how we're to do all of these things to right all the wrongs. What am I supposed to do? Well, I can change. In here, you can change. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. God, we thank you today for your word. May your word ring in our ears, in our mind, and in our heart. May it give us the strength and the power that we need to be the voice of calm. A soft answer turns away wrath. Give us a gentle spirit, O God, in place of a spirit of fear. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.